Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Moneyweb.
Now, we've all heard this so many times before, follow your passion. But in South Africa's brutal economy, is passion alone enough to pay the bills? We've got sky-high unemployment, tough market realities, and turning a creative idea into a profitable business, while it's a good idea, I think takes a lot more than just talent. And in that respect, I want to talk to Erica Liebenberg from Just Money to break down what it really takes to turn creativity into cash. And here's the rub. So many dreams stall before they ever get off the ground. So hopefully Erica's got some good advice for us in that respect. So Erica, good evening and a very warm welcome. It's a great idea to turn your passion into profit, but maybe a little simplistic given that tough economic climate that I've just outlined.
Yes, Jeremy, I'm so glad that you're raising this topic, because in the creative sector in particular, there is no shortage of good ideas, passion, excitement, innovation. But turning those dreams into reality and into a profitable going concern is a different story entirely.
And often people become so disillusioned at the get-go, and it's all about identifying a market need. I get that. But the harsh reality is that many of those great creative ideas don't have a big enough customer base, maybe because people simply have been blinkered by the fact that their idea is great, but they haven't done enough research.
Absolutely. And I think that is one of the critical issues that faces any small business, creative or otherwise. And it all comes down to being sure that there's sufficient demand for the product or service that you propose. So no matter how good the idea is, how different or innovative or one of a kind, unique, if there's not sufficient audience or enough people that are interested in that product or service, or if it's a product or service that doesn't solve a problem, then you might be dead in the water before you even start. So it's crucial to have a look at the kind of audience size that you might be looking at. So you need to really, and you can start small, Jeremy. It doesn't have to be millions that are thrown into a marketing, you know, research project. You can look online, for example. You can look at what your competitors are doing. You can have a look at how their sales seem to be going, or what sort of base they seem to be attracting. And then have a look at whether your product is sufficiently differentiated from your competitor to be able to take some market demand or market share for itself. But without looking at that, you're basically trying to create a market for a product or a service that you're offering, which is an impossibility. You've rather got to create a product or a service for a market that already exists. And it might not be that the product or service that you've got, even if it doesn't currently have an audience, doesn't have potential. It might just need a little bit of tweaking. But again, if you haven't done your research, you're not going to know that.
I want to come back to the solving the problem, which I think is critical, and maybe link that to a business plan. But you also say, Erica, start small. But in practice, there are always going to be costs involved, even in a basic startup. So it's all about getting the budget right before you even start thinking about a bigger business plan, surely.
Absolutely. You've got to look at your startup costs. And, you know, this includes things like consumables, any machinery, tools or equipment that you might need. But then you also need to determine, you know, you've got to project those costs forward, because it doesn't help to say, okay, you know, I've got a certain amount of money saved, I can start my business now, only to realize in month three that sales haven't picked up the way that you hoped, and you haven't got enough fat in your budget to see you through that difficult or that startup period. So if the more carefully you document your costs, not just startup, but your, you know, the coming months, whatever the costs are going to be, and include your marketing costs in that. You know, again, if you're doing online marketing, you can keep those costs relatively low, but at some point you're going to need to do sponsored ads, for example. You know, you're going to need to be able to get the word out there, and that's going to cost money. So make sure you've clearly documented all of those costs. Then only should you be setting the price for your product or service, because you've got to determine whether, based on those costs, you know, you're going to be able to charge a price that is on, you know, is a parity pricing, you know, on par with your competitors, or preferably even less than what your competitors are charging, because that's going to give you market share as well. But if you haven't documented the cost properly and you haven't worked out the price of your product or service properly, you're not going to be able to work out what your break-even point is or when you're going to make a profit. So let's say you get 3 or 6 months down the line, you've made some modest sales, but suddenly you hit a road hump. You're not going to know about that road hump if you haven't looked ahead. And if you haven't planned for it, if you haven't got an emergency savings stash available, you know, again, you might need to close doors when your product or service actually was viable, but you didn't put sufficient cost planning in.
Erica, I want to come back to the business plan, and I've got two questions. One is that I think often people will develop the business plan, but they will get bogged down in the minutiae and thereby deny themselves any momentum. And the second thing is difficult sometimes to develop that plan for a person who's got no formal financial or business training.
Absolutely. But, you know, this is where I would highly recommend networking and collaborating. There are so many communities out there, online communities, there are mentorship programs, there are training programs, there's all sorts of support, and we can talk about that. But it really is worth getting some kind of mentorship or networking, at least initially. And even if it's not somebody who's specifically in the same industry as you, it can just be another small business owner, somebody that you know, but work those contacts, because knowing what to include and again, research, you know, there is such a plethora of good information out there about developing a business plan and what it needs to include. But, you know, there's no substitute for actually speaking with someone who's done the hard yards, who's been down that road, and who's gotten, you know, say 2 or 3 years into a successful business. They're really going to be able to give you that crucial guidance, preferably someone in the same industry, because they're going to be able to tell you the pitfalls to look out for, because things can seem to be going well. You know, you've put your plan in place, you've got your emergency funds in place, then you hit a road hump that you weren't expecting. The more you can plan, the more you can expect, the more you can connect with others and know what to expect, the more solid a position you're going to be in.
So, Erica, let me push back a little bit on networking. I understand what you're saying. It sounds good in theory, but here's the caveat. If you're outside major cities like Johannesburg or Cape Town, there's often not a lot of real help that is available.
It's true, but this is, you know, there are governmental programs that are available. There is online help that's available, and there's a lot of formal mentorship opportunity out there, and it's definitely worth doing your research. So by way of example, the Small Enterprise Development and Finance Agency, SEDFA, they offer support, financial and non-financial, to micro, small and medium enterprises. That's sedfa.org.za. So there are programs like that that can, you know, that formalize the mentorship process, because as you correctly say, you know, turning up in person to a networking event when you're based in, you know, Prisca is not really practical. And particularly, you know, if it's an industry that's a little bit niche, a little bit unique, you know, finding those physical in-person opportunities might be unaffordable. It might be impossible. But look for those programs that do offer genuine mentorship. And again, you might not be able to get mentorship from someone who's specifically in your industry, but they'll still be able to give you those principles, and it won't cost you a cent. You know, some of them are regional, but, you know, these online programs and these online applications, they're available to anybody. You know, as long as you've got a Wi-Fi connection, it's really worth looking at that.
Erica Liebenberg from Just Money, thank you very much indeed. Some very valuable advice. I appreciate your time.
Heart Business on Heart 1027 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.